All right, this morning I want to talk to you about the spiritual journey that we're on. We're all on a spiritual journey, and Joshua was on one, and I want to use second verse there and talk from that verse and the others that are in the nine verses that we went over this morning and we read this morning. But I guess my text verse would be verse 2, where the Lord said to Joshua, "Arise and go. Arise and go." Now, I'm going to talk about this spiritual journey, but there might be some here this morning that are not on this journey yet. Let me tell you how you can get on it. The Vaughns sang about it in that last song, and they sang about it in the first song. You see, the Bible says that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a penalty for that sin, the Bible tells us. The wages of sin is death. It's not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they didn't die physically right away, but they were separated from God. God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden because in his holiness and his righteousness, he can no longer fellowship with sinful man. And so mankind, since Adam, the Bible says, "Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." And since Adam, all mankind have been under the condemnation of sin because we're all sinners. Now, left to ourselves, there's nothing we can do to fix that. But thank God he showed us mercy. Well, picture the courtroom, where the guilty sinner stands ready for the judge to pronounce judgment, and mercy in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ walked in. That's what God extended to all of us on Calvary. His mercy and his grace. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." So as Christ went to Calvary, God took all my sins and God took all of your sins, lay them on his son, and Jesus paid the price, the penalty that we owe for sin, separation from God. He was separated from God as he hung between heaven and earth. He was separated from his Father for all eternity. He cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because he was paying the price for our sin. So the journey I'm going to talk about this morning starts when a sinner comes to Christ and receives him as payment for their sin. Receives what he did on Calvary as his or her payment for the penalty of sin. That's how you start on this journey. Now, my prayer is this morning that every person here is already on that journey. My prayer is that everybody here this morning is already saved. But just in case there's one person here this morning that's not saved, that's never asked Jesus to be your Savior, let me ask you this morning, why haven't you? What's keeping you back? What has Satan bargained with you for your soul and says, "Hey, you reject Christ and I'll give you this"? I want to tell you this morning, Satan is a liar. He'll make all sorts of promises but won't keep one. He won't keep one. If you reject Christ as your Savior, there's nothing Satan can do to help you. You're going to spend eternity in hell. And I would encourage you right now, you don't even need to wait till the end of the service. Right now, you can ask Jesus to be your Savior. Amen. You can just pray a simple prayer. "Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve to be separated from you. But I believe when Christ went to the cross, he paid the price of my sin. And right now, I'm asking you to be my Savior." Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Say, "Preacher, don't I got to do anything to get saved?" Nope, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. All you have to do is receive Christ. And you can get started on this journey. This journey I'm going to talk about, a spiritual journey, God pictures in the Old Testament. He pictures it in the book of Exodus as he tells us about his people being free from Egypt, traveling through the wilderness, and then into the book of Joshua when they enter the promised land. You see, those three places represent different stages in our journey. Egypt represents a person in sin. The Israelites were in bondage. They were slaves in Egypt, just like before we got saved, we were slaves to our sin. We were bound by our sin. When they crossed the Red Sea, you might think that they got saved. Okay? They got out of sin. They got out of the slavery of sin. And they went into the wilderness. In the wilderness, that pictures a Christian who's learning to grow and who is in the process of surrendering themselves to the Holy Spirit, of surrendering themselves to live the life that God wants them to live. Okay? And then as they continue their journey in the book of Joshua and cross the Canaan River, they come into the promised land. They come into that land where they are fully surrendered. And you might think, well, I'm not going to be fully surrendered to heaven. Well, that's what the land of Canaan represents, the land of heaven, where we are fully surrendered to the Lord. We have his likeness, and we get to dwell with him forever and ever. And so God paints a picture. Egypt, sin. The wilderness, learning, growing as a Christian, the land of Canaan, heaven. And so, here in our scripture reading this morning, we find Joshua. And God says to Joshua, arise and go. Arise and go. At this point, Joshua was still in the wilderness. Moses was dead. And they mourned for Moses. They had a time of mourning for Moses. I mean, he had been their leader for 40 years. He's the one that got them out of Egypt. And they had a time of mourning. But God said to Joshua, now the time of mourning is over. It's time for you to get up and get back on your journey and get going. There are times in our spiritual journey that God needs to say the same thing to us. There are times in our spiritual journey where God needs to come to us and say, hey, get up and get going. For various reasons, you have sat down for a little bit. For various reasons, you have slowed down for a little bit. Now get up and get going. Get back on your spiritual journey. Get back on that journey where you're becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. I want to remind you this morning, we have a God that's always for forward motion. We have a God that's always for getting up and going, not standing still, making progress, taking the next step, however you want to say it. We have a God that wants his children, that wants his disciples to keep moving forward. The Bible's full of encouragements like that. Old Testament and the New Testament. The songs that we sing are full of encouragements like that. Onward, Christian soldiers. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And it's God's will for us as individuals, and it's God's will for us as a church to keep moving forward. You see, when a church gets to a certain size, like ours, a lot of churches say, hey, you know, we just about got the building full. There's really no more room to put people. And so we just ought to step back a little bit and slow down. And God, if he hears us talking like that, will come around and slap us beside the head and say, hey, no, no, no. That's not what I want for you as an individual. That's not what I want for you as a church. He would say, hey, if your building's full, add some chairs. If you can't add chairs anywhere, have a second service. If you have a second service, have a third service. You keep moving forward. Arise and go. That's the kind of God that I am. And that's the kind of God that he is. He wants us to keep going. And so he says to us, and by the way, I think it's appropriate. Next week, we're going to celebrate our 30th anniversary. We're 30 years old as a church. We've lasted a lot longer than many of the churches that I know about. Now, yes, there's some that have lasted hundreds of years, but many churches don't make it through the first 30 years. And praise the Lord, he's allowed us to do that. Praise the Lord, he is blessing us. We're continuing to grow. This is no time to slow down. This is no time to sit down. This is the time to get up and go. And God gives us some instructions. If we look at it in this first chapter of Joshua, the same instructions he gave to Joshua, he gives to us. And he says, now look, you arise and go. And I have 3 points this morning, so let me get right to them. Number one, you arise and go regardless of the circumstances. Now think about what God was saying to Joshua. Joshua had just been appointed the leader of the Israelites. Moses is dead. In fact, it said there in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Realize, again, Moses was the one that led the people from the land of Egypt. Moses was the one that led them the 40 years they spent in the wilderness. Moses is the one that went up to Mount Sinai and got the Ten Commandments and the instructions for the tabernacle. Moses is the one that went to the people on behalf of God. Moses is now dead. He's dead. And God says to Joshua, okay, you've had your time of mourning. Now get up and get going. Don't sit here. You can't sit here any longer. You can't stay in the wilderness. I prepared the land of Canaan for you. Now get up and get going. Forget about the circumstances. Get going. Now, think about Joshua for a minute. 40 years earlier, he had been one of 12 spies that Moses had sent into the land of Canaan. He was one of two, along with Caleb, that came back and said, we can take the land. Man, it's a good land. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. And they brought grapes back. They probably brought other stuff, but they brought the grapes of Eshcol back to show the people. Look at how rich the land is. It's a wonderful land. God's promised to it. Let's go in and take it. You know the story. The 10 other spies said, oh no, there's giants there and the cities are walled and they have armies. There's no way that we can defeat it. And they had a vote and they voted to turn around. Some of them wanted to go back to Egypt. Some of them wanted to go back to slavery. But they voted not to go in. And God said, okay, because you don't trust me, because you're not willing to be obedient to what I've told you to do, because you don't trust me, you don't think I'm able to give you the land, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until everybody over 20 dies. Same Joshua. God comes to him. Not Moses is dead. And God says, okay, you've mourned long enough. Get up, get going. Joshua could have said, hey, I'm 85 years old now. I was thinking about when our church started 30 years ago as I get ready for next week. You know, a lot of us are a lot older than we were 30 years ago. Right? Yeah, yeah. You can agree to that, right? Okay, good. A lot of us. I mean, we're at least 30 years older than we were 30 years ago. Some of us might be able to the point and say, well, hey, I'm a senior citizen now. I'm a senior saint now. Let those younger people get up and go. I'll just sit here and go along for the ride. God's not that kind of God. You show me one part in that book where it says you reach a certain age and God says, oh, you can just sit back and do nothing. It's not in there. It's not in there. Hey, if God's done for you, he'll take you to heaven. Amen? Amen. If you're still here, it means he's still got a work for you to do. Doesn't matter if you're 90 or 104 or somewhere in between that, like Brother Clyde is, but who will remain nameless. Hey, I'm going to give you a little preview. Actually, did you know that Frida's older than Clyde? I'll tell you all about it. Don't point your finger at the preacher. Doesn't matter how old we are. Doesn't matter how much our bones ache. Doesn't matter how tired we get. If you're still breathing God's air, he's got a work for you to do. And he says to you like he says to Joshua, doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Yeah, I know, Joshua, 40 years ago you were ready to go in and you couldn't go in, but you can go in now. Amen. You get up and go, regardless of the circumstances. You get up, you lead the people, and you go. I think that'd be a good thing for us to think about and to do as we celebrate our 30 years as a church. God's not done with any of us yet. He's still got a work for us to do. So doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how much you hurt. Doesn't matter how much you've done in the past. Doesn't matter how you feel. Get up and go. Arise and go. There's a work of God to do. Number two, he said, Joshua, I want you to rise and go. Don't worry about the circumstances. I want you to arise and go depending on the promises that I have made. Amen. Depending on the promises that I have made to your forefathers and depending on the promises that I have made to you. Let me read some of them to you again from this first chapter of Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. I made a promise to Moses that I was going to give the Israelites this land. Verse 6, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. I swear to the fathers back 40 years ago. I swear to them that I was going to give them this land. I am going to keep the promises that I have made in the past. Joshua could look back. He could see all the promises that God made to the Israelites as they were walking through the wilderness. And Joshua could see that he had kept every one of those promises. He had promised to lead them. He sent a cloud by day and a fire by night. He had promised to feed them. He sent manna from heaven. He had promised to provide their clothes. And he gave them clothes and shoes that didn't wear out, that made it through the journey. Joshua could look back at the past promises of God, and Joshua could say, he kept every one of those promises. I'm going to arise and go based on the promises that he made to Moses and my forefathers. But Joshua didn't stop there. He also said, hey, I don't have to depend on the promises to Moses. I don't have to depend on the promises to my forefathers. I can depend on the promises that God made me. In verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua, I tell you to get up and go. I want you to know I'm going to go with you. That's a promise that you can write down, that you can put in the bank, that you can depend on. Wherever you go, I'm going to go with you. So get up and get going. You know, the same God that made that promise to Joshua is the same God that makes that same promise to us. When he tells us to get up and go, he says, I'll be with you. I mean, I can look back at the promises that my grandparents claimed. I can look back at the promises that my parents claimed. I can give you instance after instance where I saw God keep the promises to my grandparents and to my parents time after time where he kept his promise. And that's good. I'm glad I have that kind of heritage. I'm glad I can look back on that. And many of you enjoy that same kind of heritage. You can look back on the promises that God made to your grandparents and made to your parents, and you can testify, yeah, God kept every one of those promises. But we don't have to depend on the past promises of God alone. We have some promises that God has made to us, and we can depend on those promises. We have the same promise. We'll never go anywhere without God going with us. He says, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. He promises to go with us. He promises to meet our every need. He'll supply our every need, not our every want, but our every need. Promise after promise after promise. So God says, get up and go, depending on the promises of God. And then number three, he says, get up and go, but as you get up and go, you pay attention to my word. You pay attention to the instructions that I've given you. He said in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. Too many Christians today treat the Bible like it's a smorgasbord. We go through the pages and we pick and choose what we like, and we ignore what we don't like. God told Joshua, you pay attention to all the law. You pay attention to everything in the Bible. It's not a pick and choose kind of book. We need to follow the whole counsel of God. We need to live by this book. So God says to Joshua, you get up and you go, and you go regardless of the circumstances. You go based on the promises, both past and present, and you go paying careful attention and being obedient to the word of God. He said in verse 8, this book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God said, Joshua, you put this word in your heart and in your mind so that you can bring it to your mouth when you need it. And that's what that verse means. It says, depart not from thy mouth. It means that he wants us to commit it to memory so that when we need it, we can bring it from our hearts and our minds and quote it. And he says, you pay attention to all of it. And if you pay attention to all of it, if you're obedient to all of it, I'll guarantee to make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Now, we know Joshua's story from reading the rest of the book. He went into the promised land. He conquered city after city after city. Only one time, he failed. He failed at Ai because he didn't listen to God. He listened to some of his captains that came back and said, well, we don't need to send a whole army. We just need to send a few thousand men, and we'll take Ai. That wasn't God's plan. Wasn't God's plan. Now, they eventually defeated Ai, and they defeated every other enemy they had. I mean, you read the book of Joshua. One time, he was in the middle of the battle. The sun was about to set. He prayed, and he asked God to keep the sun from setting. Bible says there has not been a day since that day. And we've talked about it before, what God had to do to make the sun stand still. But he was prosperous. He had good success in everything he did. Why? Because Joshua paid attention to this book. So God says to us as individuals, he says to us as a church, get up, go, arise and go. Doesn't matter what kind of circumstances you were in. Doesn't matter. We depend on the promises that God has made, both past and present, and we have his word. Amen. Now, we're on the spiritual journey. Most of us are Christians this morning. Most of us are striving and working to become more and more like Jesus Christ. We do that based on the promises. We do that based on the word of God. We do that. We're headed toward Canaan. We're headed toward heaven. It's not our working that gets us to heaven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us on Calvary. And so I'll come back and end the same place I started. There may be some here this morning that aren't on that journey yet because you've never received Christ. You're still in the land of Egypt in the slavery of sin. Let me tell you this morning, you can break the bondage of that sin. You can break the bondage of sin, not with your own efforts. You can break it with the efforts of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he died on Calvary. He died on Calvary for no sin that he committed. He died on Calvary for our sin, for your sin and my sin. He paid the price that we owe. He paid it all. As we sing sometimes, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. If you're here this morning and you've not received Christ, you need to come. You need to do that. You say, preacher, do I have to join the church? No, I'm not asking you to join the church. Do I have to become a Baptist? No, you don't have to become a Baptist. Do I have to get baptized? No, you don't have to get baptized. I think all those are good things, and you ought to do them at some point in time. But I'm not asking you to do any of those things this morning. I'm asking you to trust Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary for your sin.
Amen.
That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to trust him to make you right with God. You won't do it any other way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me.
Amen.
So would you come to Jesus this morning? Would you get out of the land of Egypt? You know, some people look back at the account of the Israelites in the wilderness, said, oh man, what a tough time they had. What a terrible time they had in that wilderness. But you know what? Anytime that the Lord's with you, it's a good time.
Amen.
Look, they were learning to trust God. They were going to have to go into the land of Canaan and fight for it. They were learning in the wilderness to trust God. If it was easy in the wilderness, they wouldn't have learned what they needed to learn. We sometimes as Christians say, oh, I wish God would give me an easy life. I wish I never had any trials. I wish I never had any heartaches. I wish I had never had any difficult circumstances. Well, what are you going to learn from that? Talk to Stephen back there. Ask him and talk to the guys in this church that went through boot camp. There's probably nobody in boot camp that would say it was easy. They made it tough for a reason. They wanted to get you ready to fight. They wanted to get you ready to go into battle. Boot camp wasn't easy. Neither is the training that God has us in right now. It's not easy because he wants us to learn some stuff. He puts us through hardships. He puts us through trials so that we'll learn to trust him. We'll learn to trust him. Would you do that this morning? If you've never trusted him for your salvation, you trust him this morning. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Joshua and his story. And I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. Help us to get up and go, those of us that are saved. And Father, if there's those here this morning that's never received Christ, I pray that you would speak to their hearts, convict them of their sin, and Father, bring them to Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.